Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp, your host of the Dollars and Cents Show. This is episode number 12. And the topic is teenagers and taxes. I am a certified public accountant. I'm pretty busy this time of year. I'm recording this in February. It's tax season. And I realized a couple years ago that parents of teenagers were mighty confused, probably because I had teenagers myself. And I realized there was no one place on the IRS website that kind of put all together the information about taxes on teenagers. So you know what? I did it for them. Yeah, I put together a website aptly called teensandtaxes.com. And over there, you're going to find some great blog posts about taxes on teenagers. Quite a few parents have written into me. I answer their questions about taxes for teenagers. So that's what this podcast is going to be about, kind of an overview of what taxes are for teenagers. Teenagers can earn money in so many different ways, so I'm going to try to clarify some things for you, some misconceptions, give you some warnings, help you do things legally, rightly, but not pay the Uncle Sam any more than what we legally have to. All right, let's dive in. Let me start up by explaining that a teenager, if they earn money, they file their own tax return. Could be a 1040 easy, could be the full up 1040, depending upon their tax situation. But a teenager files their own tax return, meaning, of course, you can help them prepare it, but they file their own tax return in their own name. You do not add your child's or your teenager's income to your tax return. Do not do that. There is no place on the tax return for you to add your child's income onto your tax return. If you're using software, you know, and start typing in your child's W-2 into your tax return, it won't work. It's not supposed to work. A child prepares their own tax return, files their own tax return. So a lot of parents do get very concerned when I say your teenagers file their own tax return, and they think, well, is he not going to be my dependent anymore if he makes money and files his own tax return? No, don't worry. They can still be your dependent. Over at teensandtaxes.com, I've got a blog post right there on the homepage. You click on it and it says how to determine if your teenager is your dependent. And the IRS has dependency tests, and most of them are no problem at all, okay? The child has to be related to you. They have to have citizenship in the United States. They have to live with you. They have to be under age 19, meaning that their 18th year, they're still your dependent, or a full-time student under age 24. And they support. They have to pass what's called the support test, meaning that the teenager does not provide more than half his or her own support during the year. So what that means is that a teenager can earn a lot of money. I have known teenagers that have started microbusinesses, and these kids are earning $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. One teenager earned $50,000 in 1 year. He was still his parents' dependent for tax purposes. And the reason he was still his parents' dependent is because, guess what? They were still providing more than half of his support. He wasn't paying for his rent. He wasn't paying for his food. He wasn't paying for his medicine or his clothing or his education or anything, right? He was making a lot of money. He filed his own tax return. He paid taxes on his money. Now, what's really important is when your child files their own tax return, that they do it properly and click the right boxes. And I've got a post over at Teens and Taxes as well. It's called Filling Out a 1040 Correctly for a Teenager. And on there, I point out how they need to check the box that says, I am claimed as a dependent on someone else's tax return. So sometimes they check a box. Yes, someone's claiming me. I think that's the 1040 EZ. They check the box. On the 1040 itself, they do not check the box and claim themselves. Does that make sense? Because you're claiming them as dependent on your tax return. So the teenager does not claim themselves as their own exemption or their, you know, themselves on their own tax return. I hope that's clear. If your teenager messes that up, well, you're going to have to do some amended tax returns with the IRS, and it gets a little messy. So make sure when your teenager does file his own tax return, you're looking over his shoulder and you're doing it right. And most important, go on over to teensandtaxes.com, read the blog post about filling out the 1040 correctly for a teenager so you get it done right and don't end up with a mess or being denied the exemption for your own child because, you know, they claim themselves. Okay, so I wanted to clear that up. Your teenager files their own tax return. They just don't claim themselves as their own exemption. You get to claim them as the dependent on your tax return, mom and dad. Okay, let me talk now about the major taxes that affect teenagers. First of all, there's taxes on earned income, which is income from a job or a business. There's unearned income. There's tax you pay on that. Unearned income is income from investments like interest, dividends in a stock, capital gains when you sell a stock, stuff like that. And then finally, there is a tax that affects teenagers as well as adults called the self-employment tax, and that's for a teenager who's running their own business. Okay? So let me tackle each of those a little bit briefly here. Oh, and by the way, the show notes can be found over at Dollars and Cents Show. Look for episode number 12, Teens and Taxes. That will help a lot. The earned income, which I already mentioned, would be from a job. You'll see it quite clearly. They'll get a W-2 or from running their own business. That's called earned income. Even if they're babysitting, that income is taxable income. Every time, no federal income tax is owed by your teenager if their earned income is under $6,100. That's in 2013. This amount, $6,100, goes up about $100, $150 every year. That means that your teenager can earn, you know, $6,000, a little bit more than $6,000, and not pay any federal income tax. Should they file a tax return? Well, yeah, probably, yes, they should. They should file a tax return if they had a job, because chances are they had some federal income tax withheld from that job and they can get it back. Pretty simple. File a 1040 easy. Fill it out with using the W-2 right in front of you. It's not too hard. If it's a little confusing to you, I've got a link to a website at the IRS. Believe it or not, they've got a wonderful website called Understanding Taxes. And there are some simulations of very typical situations, and one is a teenager who has a job, and you can see what the W-2 looks like and how it relates to the tax form and how to fill it out. Okay? So anyway, that's good news. It means your child can earn up to about $6,000, a little bit more, and not pay any federal income tax, but they might still want to file a tax return to get either their refund back, or if they ran a business, then they're going to need to file a tax return. Babysitting, not so much. And I'll talk to you why. There's a special kind of carve out, if you will, special tax situation for babysitters and grass mowers. But let me first talk about unearned income. That's the interest, the dividends, capital gains on investments, taxable investments that are in the child's name. So in my previous podcast, I talked about college savings accounts, these 529 plans and Coverdell Education Savings Accounts. Those are not taxable accounts. They're what they're called, tax deferred or even tax free. They're set up so that the money you put in after tax, and the earnings are never taxed. That's not the kind of stuff I'm talking about here. I'm talking about if you have a stock, but it's in the child's name, or you have a savings account, or even grandma and grandpa set up an account and it's in the child's name, that the interest, dividends, and things like that are called unearned income. And yes, your teenager needs to file a tax return and pay taxes on his unearned income if he earns more than $1,000 a year in unearned income. Okay? If he earns less than $1,000 in unearned income, meaning interest, dividends, stuff like that, he doesn't have to pay any federal income tax. He might not need to file a tax return. If he earns more than $1,000, between $1,000 and $2,000, he pays taxes, federal income tax, at his tax rate or her tax rate, which is pretty low, probably in the 10% range. if he has mega savings, mega interest, or capital gains, or things, unearned income, more than $2,000 in a year, he or she is going to pay federal income taxes at your rate, the parent's rate. This is what's notoriously called the kiddie tax. I'm not going to get into that now, other than just to say, if your child has investments in their name, and then they're earning interest, then you have to be aware of these kind of tax situations and start reading about things called the kiddie tax. Okay, just Google it and start asking your tax preparer. Let me give you a couple examples where this comes into play. Back when my daughters were young, there weren't some of these great college incentive tax programs like the 529 and the Coverdell Education IRA. So we set up what were called custodial accounts. I call it my UTMA account, Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. It's a custodial account, and we were saving money in that for college. No tax advantage to that account. So the money was really in the child's name. So that money would earn interest, and it was small because they were young and interest wasn't very much. But if it had grown and gotten big, well, then I might have had to file a tax return for my child to pay taxes on that unearned income. I did have a friend who was saving for their son that way, and it was a little confusing to mom, because the way the statements came, it came with her name first and then her son's name underneath. So therefore, she thought that income was to be put on her tax return because her name was on the form, but it was really saved in his name. And I looked at that and I said, that's not right. And dear parents, you've been paying income tax on this at your much higher tax rate. It's really your son's income. So we went and amended it, tax returns for the prior 3 years. That's all the further you can go back. Got them a refund, about $1,000. The son had to pay a little bit in taxes, like $100 or $200, but it got mom and dad over $1,000 of taxes back that they had paid. These were significant college savings accounts. Okay, not the 529 plans. This was, they were saving for his college and just your typical CDs and money market accounts. Okay, so that's unearned income. So we talked about earned income, unearned income. Now let me talk to you about another kind of tax you may be surprised to find out about. A lot of people are. I call it the hidden tax. It's called the self-employment tax. The self-employment tax is the same as Social Security and Medicare taxes on self-employed people, meaning people who have their own jobs or their own businesses, create their own business, their own job. The self-employment tax is rather punishing. It's 15% of your net income, 15.3 to be exact, but 15% of your profits over $400. So if your child has a micro business, and I hope they do, you know, I wrote a book series called Micro Business for Teens, and I encourage teenagers to start their own businesses, but they're going to have to owe taxes on that business, and they might understand federal income tax, but this tax, the self-employment tax, like I said, it's Social Security and Medicare for self-employed people, 15%. It kind of sneaks up, and it kind of surprises a lot of students. A lot of teenagers, a lot of their parents are not aware of that. And that dollar threshold, $400 of profit, you pay tax on anything over $400 of profit. That's a pretty low threshold, isn't it? It doesn't take much to make $400 profit in a small business anymore, does it? No. It's not been adjusted since 1954. It's not been adjusted since it came about. If it had been adjusted, it would be over $6,000. It would be about $6,250 by my calculation. So, unfortunately, your teenager has to pay this self-employment tax. And it's kind of hidden, like I said. It's on the backside of the 1040. Most of us know about our federal income taxes. We're not aware when our teenagers start their own businesses or earn their own money working for themselves that they owe this tax. But they do indeed. I would love to see it changed. In fact, if you're mad at the fact of this, that these teenagers are having to pay this very punitive 15% of their profits over to the federal government to fund the Social Security, well, then go head on over to Micro Business for Teens and click on the link there that says Eliminate Tax on Teenage Entrepreneurs. I'm trying to get some congressmen and women interested in this plight. Okay. There is an exception for paying the self-employment tax, and it's a very important exception that I want to talk to you about. I'm going to take a little break now, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to explain how your teenager can legally get out of paying this very punitive self-employment tax.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Okay, welcome back. It's Carol Topp. This is episode number 12 of the Dollars and Cents Show. We are talking about teenagers and taxes. You can find the show notes over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. Look for episode number 12, Teenagers and Taxes. There's going to be some links, but you know, the best thing you can do would be to head over to my website, teensandtaxes.com. Because over there, I've got some great blog posts to explain taxes on your teenager. I answer questions from parents over there. And I sell an ebook. It's a very informative 40-page ebook, 47 pages, I think. But hey, it doesn't cost very much at all. It costs $3, and you get my CPA brain, everything I know about taxes for teenagers there. Shows you how to fill out some of the tax forms, especially if you're concerned about doing it right and still being able to claim your teenager as your own dependent. Or if your child is operating a micro business, then they probably definitely want that ebook over at teensandtaxes.com. It only costs $3, you know, get it. They probably are interested in my other book that's called Money and Taxes in a Micro Business. And I talk about the federal income tax, states, the self-employment tax, which I'm going to finish talking about now, but also sales tax, which if your child is selling a product, like they've made jewelry and they're selling at a craft show or something, they need to know about sales tax right away. So it's important for you to give them the education that they need when they're business owners or micro business owners. So head on over to Micro Business for Teens and take a look at the Money and Taxes in a Micro Business book, available in print and ebook format for you. Okay, I was talking to you about the self-employment tax, which is Social Security and Medicare taxes, 15% of your child's profit from a business that they own. And that 15%, if you understand what that is both halves of the Social Security and Medicare taxes, the employer half and the employee half. When you're an employee, you see that half of that gets deducted. You know, it's called FICA on your pay stub. Your teenager may look at it and say, what's this FICA that got taken out? Well, you can explain that. Stands for Federal Insurance Corporation Act, I believe. It's the act that established the Social Security system. Explain to them they're paying the Social Security system. And if they're self-employed, starting their own business, they have to pay both the employer and employee half. That's why it's approximately 15% of their profit. Now, there are some exceptions, and this is the legal way your teenager can get out of paying that self-employment tax. They can operate a business that would classify them as a household employee. Let me explain. Household employees are people who go to someone's home and work in or around their home. That would be your babysitter, kid who mows your grass, house cleaner, landscape, stuff like that. Someone who works in or around your home for your family. The IRS has a list of occupations that qualify. If you start Googling household employee over at irs.gov, they will explain who is a household employee. And here's the great thing about being a household employee. If your student, your child, is under age 18, they can work in or around someone's home and not be subject to that awful self-employment tax. So that means that the babysitters, if your daughter is out there babysitting and making money from babysitting, she does not have to pay self-employment tax. But if your daughter was like mine and gave piano lessons in our home, didn't go somewhere, but in our home gave piano lessons, well, then they're a business owner and they do owe self-employment tax. Okay? If your teenager is going to someone's home and working in or around that home, They can be classified as a household employee and are not subject, if they're under age 18, to self-employment tax. That's why babysitting, mowing grass, house cleaning are great jobs. I've been asked whether tutoring or giving music lessons in someone's home qualifies as a household employee. I would say no, probably not. And the reason I say no, probably not, is because the IRS does list examples of household employees over on the IRS.gov website, and they don't list tutors, music teachers, or things like that. I'm a conservative CPA. I don't think you can call yourself a household employee if you are a tutor or a music teacher just because you're going to that person's house. I have a tax client. She does do piano lessons in the person's home. We file and at her as a business owner, Schedule C. That's where we report business, income taxes, and expenses, and that she pays self-employment tax on her piano teaching income. Okay, so I hope I explained that to you. Again, if you have more questions about that, head over to teensandtaxes.com. I discuss a little bit about babysitters and do they pay taxes, but buy the book, Teens and Taxes, over at teensandtaxes.com. Because it explains how you file the tax return when your child has income from babysitting. Okay, if indeed they even need to file. See, again, if your teenager is babysitting and say they made $4,000 babysitting, okay, they don't owe the self-employment tax because they're household employee under age 18. And they won't owe federal income tax because they earned less than the $6,100 threshold where they have to pay federal income tax. So that's why babysitting, mowing grass are great jobs for teenagers. Hey, let me wrap up by telling you about one situation where teenagers sometimes are scammed, and I want you to be aware of this and know what to do. It happened just today again. A parent emailed me and said, hey, my son worked this summer, earned $650, and just got something called a 1099 miscellaneous in the mail. A 1099 miscellaneous looks an awful lot like a W-2. It's a way that someone reports the income that they paid you. A W-2 is when you work as an employee and get paid as an employee, and half of your Medicare and Social Security taxes are withheld, and sometimes federal income tax is withheld. A 1099 miscellaneous is when you work for somebody but they consider you an independent contractor. They withhold no income tax. Sometimes this happens to teenagers, and I'm afraid this is what happened in this woman's situation. She seemed quite shocked that her son got a 1099 miscellaneous for working for somebody this summer. That person they worked for considered that student to be an independent contractor, not an employee, and now that student has to pay federal income tax on his earnings. Not, he won't, because, you know, $650 is underneath that $6,100 threshold, but he will have to pay Social Security and Medicare taxes, because remember that threshold? That's really low. Self-employment tax threshold is $400. He made $650. I'm going to explain to her how she can complain. First of all, she should complain to her employer and say, the student's employer, and say, you know what, he should have been considered an employee, and here's why. You know, he's really not an independent contractor. He's not out there offering his services to people. But if you get nowhere with the employer, you can complain to the IRS. It's a form called an SS-8, and it's basically kind of whistleblowing. So you need to be prepared that the employer will be basically audited by the IRS. So it's a pretty serious step. But you can file that. An SS-8 is kind of a complaint form to explain why you think your student should have been classified as an employee, not an independent contractor. And then you will have to pay only one half of the self-employment tax, the employee half of the Social Security and Medicare taxes. And you use a special form called 8919 to do that. Instead of paying both halves, the 15%, you have to pay only your half, the employee half. You know, this mother's going to have to decide what it's worth to her, considering her son made $650. Not a whole lot of money, but I've seen kids get scammed for a lot more than that. And the reason employers do it is because the paperwork and the regulations around employees is much, much more restrictive and heavier. It's more of a burden on the employer to hire an employee. It's easier to just say, you're an independent contractor, kid, deal with your own tax problems. And that's why I call it a scam, and I don't like it. So head on over to teensandtaxes.com if you think this has happened to you. There's some blog posts over there, and I also explain in my book, Teens and Taxes, you know, how you can deal with the situation. It does involve some filing with the IRS, so you're going to have to consider whether it's worth the battle you want to fight or not. Okay? So anyway, I hope this has been helpful. Teens and taxes, a little confusing. quite a bit to know, but I try to summarize it and put it in plain English for you. I'm sure you learned something from this podcast you didn't know about before. Again, find helpful information. I've probably repeated it about 6 times already, right? You know the website name by now, teensandtaxes.com. But again, if your child is running their own business, well, then of course you want to head over to microbusinessforteens.com and get some helpful information there, particularly my book, Money and Taxes in a Microbusiness. It's a great big world. Don't feel discouraged dealing with the taxes for a teenager. Bring them in on it. Explain to them, you know, what the situation is, and give them the education they need to be the adults that you're raising them to be. you know what? If a teenager is hardworking and successful enough, then he's going to owe taxes. And so we want all our teenagers to be paying a lot of taxes, because that means that they're working hard and being successful in earning money. All right? Maybe not the way you see it. Hey, everybody, take care, and look forward to the next Dollars and Cents show. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.